purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've been robbed. At gunpoint, I've been robbed. It wasn't very fun. I was serving as the pastor of Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church in Oak Cliff back in 1995. Boy, that was a long time ago. I was out walking at Weiss Park one morning. It was in the middle of spring. The air was crisp and cool. It was a lovely morning. There were a lot of people out walking in the park that morning, so it wasn't as if I was alone or anything. And I'm walking along a sidewalk, minding my own business, enjoying the surrounding environment, having a wonderful time, and three big guys come out from behind a bunch of bushes, and one points a gun at me, and they say, "Give me all your money. And your watch, too." So I pulled out my wallet and handed it to him, and I took off my watch and I handed it to him. They didn't hit me. They didn't shoot me. They didn't beat me. They turned and they ran. And apparently somebody else had seen this happen over at the activity center, which was just across the lawn, because I heard suddenly in the distance the sound of a siren going up Clarendon Drive. And I just kind of stood there shaking, realizing how close I'd come. The cop car pulled up to the side of the road. These two cops get out. They come running over to me to check on me. They take my name. They take my description of the people who had robbed me. They took me back to the police station, which was really close to the church. They said that we'll let you know if we find anything. You might want to go back home and call your bank and call your credit card companies. Of course, by that time, I was a very, very poor pastor. There wasn't much money in the wallet, and there was only one card, and they would have been disappointed if they tried to use it. A couple of days later, I got a phone call from the police asking me to come over to the station. They had my wallet. I was surprised and pleased. So I went over to the police station and walked in, and the chief asked me to come into his office and sat down. He pulled out my wallet. He says, "I want you to know something. The robbery that you experienced was a gang initiation. A gang initiation ritual in which one of them, the one who held the gun on you, was being initiated into the gang. It happens to be one of the more superstitious of the Latino gangs in this area. And apparently this guy chose the wrong person to rob. Because in your wallet they discovered your business cards for your church, and especially your driver's license with your picture of you wearing a clerical collar. And Reverend, these gangs are so superstitious, this particular one is so superstitious, that rather than run the risk of upsetting the evil spirits, they killed the boy who robbed you. And his body was left on the spot where you were robbed last night, and your wallet. All the cards, all the money, everything is there, untouched." I thought I was going to throw up. Still makes me sick thinking about it today. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? No treasure is worth eternal life. No treasure on earth is worth eternal life. No treasure is worth hoarding to the point that you risk death. And yet we have this story today that Jesus tells of the rich man. It's an amazing little parable, and we all know it, but there are little pieces that sort of surprised me when I read it again. The land of the rich man produced a great harvest or a great crop or abundantly. Notice it starts by saying he's rich. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. More accurately, what should I do? The barns I have are already filled, and I have too much stuff. I know what I'll do, he says to himself. I'll tear down the barns that I've got and put up bigger barns that can hold more. And I'll store all my grain and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, I love that how he does that, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said, you fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? This very night you may have enough supply. You may have barns large enough to hold enough food, enough wealth for you to make it for many years so you can relax, retire, have a good time. You may have many years' worth of supply, but you don't have many years to spend it. This very night, your life is demanded of you. This very night, it's gone. What worth is it to pile up these huge treasures that demand extra large barns? Not only that, he had to go to the trouble to tear down the barns he already had and the effort to build bigger, newer, better ones. He wasted time, he wasted money, he wasted effort. And he gets the barns built and he gets all of his stuff into those barns and he's happy. And he can relax, except that now his life comes to an end. Where is your treasure? Where was his? He had it in his barns. What good is it going to do him in those barns? No good at all. No good at all. There's the funny joke about the little old lady, the little old miser lady who had been saving up money all of her life. She was rich. And she tells her daughter, as she's lying on her deathbed, she says to her daughter, now I want you to put all my money in my casket when I die and bury me with my money. So she dies. And they have the funeral service and all the people come forward and they do the pass by and they stop and they say, oh, she looks natural and all that other stuff that you say when you look at the body. And then they left. And finally, it was just the daughter left. And she comes forward and she looks at her mother and she pats her on the cheek, and cries a little tear, then reaches into her purse and pulls out a check made out to her mother for $70 million for cash and puts it in her mother's hand, then backs up as the funeral attendants close and lock the casket. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you unless, my brothers and sisters, you've already deposited it, piled it up in an account with God. Unless you've already saved it with God. If you've already invested in God. If you've already done what God tells you to do. Well, what does God say to you for you to do? Sell your possessions and give alms. Huh? Sell possessions? I thought that the objective of life is he who gets the most stuff wins. No. He who gets the most stuff still dies and can't take it with him. No. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure. Not in First National Bank, not in Compass Bank, not in Chase Bank, not in City Bank, where if you overdraw by 1 cent, they charge you $50. No. No. Your treasure should be in heaven. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, I suppose this is really the point. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where your treasure is, there your attention is. What you value as of greatest importance in your life, that's your treasure. What you consider to be your greatest priorities, that which you pay attention to, that which you pay time on, that which you do and do and do because you love doing it, that's your treasure. That's where your heart is. You can tell your priorities in life by what you're doing, how you're spending your time, and how you're spending your money. Well, Greg, I can trust God with my time, and I can trust God with my eternal soul, but I can't trust God with my pocketbook. Oh, really? God's the only one you can trust with your pocketbook. Amen. You can't trust yourself. I had to kill about an hour and a half the other day. So I stopped at a Best Buy. Big mistake. Would have been a worse mistake to stop at a bookstore, but you can't find those anymore. So I stopped at Best Buy, and I was kind of wandering around and walking through the movie section. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, there must be a movie in here that I want or need. Then I checked myself and said, no, I don't need anything. But want, yeah. So I'm walking through the movie section. I couldn't find one that I even wanted. I got too much stuff. We all have too much stuff. Lisa, you know I have too much stuff. When I move, I pack up my boxes. And I really do try to label them with what's in them. She don't believe me, but I do. And when I moved to Beverly Drive from Trenton, I had a bunch of boxes. A stack of boxes that I didn't need to get into immediately when I got to Beverly Drive. I just put in a bedroom, an unused bedroom at the parsonage. And they sat there. And every time I needed something from one of them, I would go get the box and pull it out and unpack it. Christmas decorations, I went and got those boxes. When I wanted to look at some of my, why I wanted to do it, I don't remember. When I wanted to look at some of my old papers from seminary, they were in one of those boxes, I went and got the box. By the time I left Beverly Drive after 4 years, there was still a stack of boxes that I had not opened. They were still labeled with what was in the inside and the year that I moved there. So you know what I did? I moved them. I moved them with me to Segalville and put them in an unused bedroom and went through my life having unpacked the rest of my stuff. And 6.5 years later, when I was packing up to move to St. Stephen, guess what? The same boxes were sitting in the same corner, in the same room, having not been opened. Now, for 10 years, I moved them to St. Stephen. I put them in a closet in a back bedroom at the parsonage. and didn't look at them for 4 years. I was packing up to move. I was getting things corralled together, and I thought maybe I ought to check a couple of more corners, make sure I didn't miss something. Opened a closet that I really hadn't opened my entire time there, and there's the stack of boxes with 1996 written on the side of the boxes. And it's 2011. Did I need what was in those boxes? No. It was stuff that I didn't need. Some of us have so much stuff, we have extra storage buildings to store it in. We got attics that are so full of stuff, it's going to take years to go through them. We've got too much stuff. And that's where we place our treasure, our time, our energy, our attention, our priorities are orbiting around stuff, money, and not God, and not people, not family, not friends, not church, not faith, not God, but stuff. And my brothers and sisters, that's got to stop. This chain, this continual chain of stuff, accumulating stuff, laying up treasures, not in heaven, but at First National Bank, gets us nowhere. Jesus calls us to have purses that don't wear out. For where our treasure is, there our heart is also. So lay up treasures in heaven. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Where do you pay your time, your attention, your presence?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Greg. I come to church every Sunday morning. I sit here for an hour. I go to Sunday school class for an hour. I do what I'm supposed to do. When did you last pray outside of church? And I don't mean when you almost get cut off on the highway and you go, "Oh, Jesus!" No, that ain't prayer. That's cursing. I don't mean that. I mean, when did you last pray? And I'll do it again. And not when the IRS sends you that audit letter. When did you last spend time with God in prayer? When did you last read Scripture? Not to prepare a Bible study, not to prepare a Sunday school lesson, not to prepare to preach. I'm speaking to myself here. I'll ask it that way. When did I last read Scripture for devotional, spiritual self-growth? My confession to you is, it's been many weeks. I read it to prepare to preach. I read it to prepare Bible studies. I read it to prepare papers, articles. I use it utilitarianly, but not as a means of grace to grow myself. When did we last store up treasures in heaven through spending our time, our talents, yes, our gifts, our service and our witness? When did we last sow our presence with the family of faith, with God, with the calling we have to be disciples of Jesus Christ? Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Well, Greg, there's just too much to worry about. I've got light bills. I've got gas bills. I have an insurance policy for my car. I've got health insurance policy, life insurance policy. I've got to pay for the house bill, the cable bill, the phone bill, the computer bill, the health bill. I got too many bills, too many worries. I can't possibly spend it any other way. Jesus spoke about that too. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing.
Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses or barn, yet God feeds them. They don't even have a small little barn that they have to tear down. They have nothing, yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Rhetorical question. The answer is nope. If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, if your worrying can't add even a tiny little hour to your span of life, why do you worry about the rest? It's not going to do you any good. Worrying about it isn't going to make it any better. Instead, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he take care of you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things. And your Father knows that you need them. God knows you have a gas bill to pay. God knows you have a rent bill to pay. God knows you have an insurance bill to pay. God knows you have taxes to pay. Gosh, God knows you have taxes to pay. God knows you have all sorts of bills. God knows it. In the context of that, Jesus says, Father knows that you need them. Your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom. And these things will be given you as well. Strive for his kingdom. And all these things will be given you as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Alleluia. It's not just a song. It's a devotional promise. And a calling we have to live. Where is your treasure? Do you sow it in yourself? Do you tear down your barns and build bigger barns? Or do you give it lavishly to God? Lavishly to the family of faith? Lavishly to those in need? Lavishly to where no thief can come and molest, and no moth can destroy? Where is your treasure? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.